life has its challenges. When we're young, we face the challenge of doing well in school so that we can graduate. Then the challenge comes of a career. The challenge of marriage, and then the challenge of raising a family. The challenge of financial independence, and then the challenge of retirement. Life has its challenges. I would suggest to you that one of the greatest challenges in life is the challenge of human suffering. We use the word suffering in many different ways in our culture. When a friend is diagnosed with a terminal illness and they pass from this life quickly, we say, at least they didn't suffer. When talking with people that face serious illnesses, we say, I hope that you don't have to suffer too much. Jesus could be called the suffering servant. He's different than us in that he was and has remained God, but chose during that time to also become man. When they pressed down the crown of thorns on the head of Jesus, it hurt. The same way it would hurt if it were pressed down on your head or mine. When they beat him with the whip before the mockery of trials, and when they nailed him to the cross, it hurt. And we wonder, why did it hurt this one who obviously was and is God, who has no beginning and has no end? And the answer to that is because Jesus decided to take on flesh. He decided to become a part of humanity. And hence that condition that has been present with man since the Garden of Eden, the condition of suffering, was something that Jesus became a part of. The reaction of man to suffering is quite different. Jesus' reaction to suffering was unique, not just different. I read in the book of Hebrews, the 4th chapter, in verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin." It is almost more than the human mind can wrap itself around the truth that Jesus went through such suffering as he did and never once sinned. I'm not just talking about overt action of the physical, but Jesus never once even had a sinful thought during that period of time. And thus James uses the experiences of Jesus to teach you and I a lesson. In James 1, in verse 12, he says, "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trials." With those thoughts in our mind, I invite you to turn to our text, which is found in the book of Philippians, the second chapter, beginning in verse 1. And reading through verse 11. "If therefore there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of spirit, if any affection and compassion. Make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Don't merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, and being made in likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, as God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those who are in earth and those under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. It's through the suffering of Jesus that you and I, whether we interact with those who might be from our congregation or other congregations, whether they be from our city or Tucson or Sierra Vista or Houston or wherever they may be, we can have a unity through the suffering of Jesus Christ. It is a unique blessing that we can have. Those people that belong to the VFW share a closeness, a camaraderie, based upon a shared experience. They were participants in wars for their country. Those who belong to Alcoholics Anonymous share a camaraderie. Part of that camaraderie is what allows them the strength to persevere in the overcoming of a self-inflicted but dreadful habit. They share a closeness because of that. The closeness that we feel because of Jesus Christ is that kind of closeness. It is human nature for us who individually and severally love Jesus Christ to share a closeness together because of that individual love for the Lord. It enables us to meet good friends for the first time. It enables us to have family that we meet that we've never met before that have the same goals and aspirations as us. It draws us. The drawing is tremendously powerful. And thus, we read in the 12th chapter of the book of John in verse 32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." It's interesting to think of what happens during the Lord's Supper. We react differently from the physical. Some shed tears during the supper. Some through prayer talk to their God during the supper. Some through motions of humility and contriteness change their sitting posture during the Lord's Supper. You know what's happening during the Lord's Supper? When Chuck come up here and he read and talked about Jesus shedding his flesh and shedding his blood for our benefit, what was happening was we were being drawn by God closer together. Ever thought about that? What is it that disallows that drawing? Individuals. If we do not participate in what God gives us as memorials to make us cohesive, if we rather turn to some other source of power and draw ourselves out, then we find ourselves outside the blessings of that family that are being drawn together by the individual acts of this very worship service. My objective in thinking about today, in viewing Jesus from three different perspectives of suffering, is so that you and I, as His children, as part of His kingdom, as His servants, will, when we are through with the next 20 or 25 minutes or so, we will not only love Him more, we will love each other more. If we miss that, we miss a great opportunity. In His death, He became the perfect atonement for sins. Hebrews 5, verse 8 and 9, although He was a son, He learned obedience from the things which He suffered, and having been made perfect, He became to all those who obey Him the source of eternal salvation. Jesus Christ, the sufferer. If you were to be asked, how does God manifest His love? You might say, well, creation. You might say, well, He manifests His love through being involved in the affairs of man, through providence. I can tell you in one word how God manifests His love the strongest to mankind. Jesus is God's love manifest. Do you understand? Without that one solitary man, that regardless of how proficient at being good Lance and I are, we have no chance. Zero chance. Without regard to how much we protect ourselves and how much we guard against those things that we know are evil and how much we study, without Jesus Christ, Trevor and I have no chance to live the rest of our lives without being separated from God by sinning. All men sin and fall short of the glory of God, and regardless of how high a plane we find ourselves on, there will be times when the devil succeeds, but the love of Jesus Christ makes it possible for us to overcome that and for us to be closer to God. It is a sad thing to see people age and not have enjoyed the beauty and the peace that comes from having a relationship with God. It is a point of absolute blessing to think of what's ahead for people like Jacob, who at an early age became a Christian and enjoys a relationship with God. And all of that made possible by the suffering of Jesus Christ. I would not be one to say when viewing the cross, I'm glad He didn't have to suffer, because He did suffer. And hallelujah that He did. That He allows us to benefit from that suffering. When we view Jesus, we are to have the same attitude as He had. The same attitude about life, the same attitude about temptation, the same attitude about overcoming, the same attitude about obedience, the same attitude about looking toward the future as Jesus Christ had. Jesus, the servant, will teach us lessons. Jesus, the sufferer, will teach us lessons. Jesus, the Savior, will teach us great lessons. Jesus is the fulfillment of prophetic hope. We learned a little bit this morning in Isaiah, the 40th chapter, about the projected prophecies of Isaiah, not only to the children of Judah as they were about to overcome through the auspices of God the captivity of Babylon, but also the blessings that we'll have in Jesus Christ as his way was made smooth and straight by John the Baptist, and he came and lived and died for our sins. Isaiah foretells the humble servant some 20 times in his prophecy. In chapters 42, 49, 50, 52, 53, Isaiah deals with the subject, the strength of God's servant to accomplish his mission is dealt with by Isaiah in chapter 49. The humiliation of God's servant, Jesus Christ, and the suffering through which he passed for the good of mankind is dealt with in chapter 50, verse 4 through 11. In chapter 52, about verse 13 through chapter 53 and verse 12, the famous passage that delineates the very makeup of Jesus Christ as he is presented to humanity. And we are made to rejoice for that. And the public reaction to the presentation of Jesus Christ to humanity was absolutely predictable. He was acquainted with grief. He was despised. He was not esteemed by man. Isaiah 53 and verse 13. But even at that, he bore our guilt, our grief. He carried our sorrows. He was afflicted and wounded and bruised for our iniquities, and he died for us. And in his death, he became the perfect atonement for our sins. Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9, although he was a son, he learned obedience. Obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. But we look also at Jesus as the sufferer. In no other way could a just God be satisfied than through a perfect sacrifice. In Romans 8, chapter and verse 17, the Apostle Paul, in writing to the saints at Rome, said, "And if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him." Jesus suffered in order to do his Father's will, and you and I suffer in order to do Jesus' will. He volunteered his life for humanity, and we volunteer our life for him. The analogies are plain, and they are forceful. We are called to love because, according to 1 John 4 and verse 19, he loved us first. There are some really descriptive and key words in the New Testament which show the severity of what Jesus did for me. His soul was troubled at Gethsemane. John 12 and 27. He became sorrowful and very heavy in his feeling. And the original would suggest that that was a total occupation of his mind. In order to do what he knew I needed, he became vexed to the very corners of his thinking process. Jesus Christ. In Mark 14 and 33, he began to be sore amazed in the garden. That's to the point of horror. Why is it you think that Jesus sweat as though drops of blood? Because that which was set before him, which was absolutely vital for Gary and I, brought him to the point of horror. It was horrifying to him. Do we appreciate today what he went through? He was exceedingly sorrowful. That's to the point of death. And in Luke 22 and 44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became, as it were, drops of blood. I believe that that agony referred to there is the agony to which Isaiah refers to in chapter 53 and verse 12. We think of things that we describe as human cries. I've heard human cries from animals that were trying to escape a forest fire. The same kind of cries that came from parents who lost their children because of some dreadful accident. I've been told of those kind of cries that came from people that were put into harm's way by those that were seeking to do them evil. Human cries from Jesus Christ. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Psalms 22 and verse 1. The climax of his agony. The finishing touch on the gift that he gave to us. Jesus, the Savior, traversed from garden's agony to heaven's glory. And even in returning home to heaven, in John 14, he went to prepare a place for us. So that where he is, we can be too. And to us, he said, if it were not so, I would have told you. I believe that. The ones that I know that are Christians that are here gathered this morning believe that. And it draws us closer together. If I were writing in the New York Post, which seems to sensationalize everything, I would say that Jesus won a stunning victory over death. A stunning victory. He returned to wear the crown that was rightfully his when he accomplished his purposes upon the earth. And to that information, we as Christians cry out in our heart this day, praise the King. Praise the King. We could not be more fortunate than to be servants in His kingdom. Christianity is a lifestyle, not a title. If you're visiting here this morning and you're a Christian, welcome to people that love you. Welcome to people that care about you. Welcome to people that are related to you through Jesus Christ. We honor, we value our King. We worship Him this day. We set before you those thoughts for consideration, not for entertainment, but for consideration. We pray that each other will consider these things carefully and give them our honest effort of consideration for the next few hours of this day, because the end result will be closer to Jesus Christ. And for that, we all long as we face the grave. A few years ago, R.J. Stevens stood in this pulpit and shared with us his insight on the Word of God and his melodious leadership of praises to God. He died yesterday. Praise the King. Praise the King. There are those of us of his generation who used to at coffee sit and laugh about and kid about being and becoming older. And as we stop in the seriousness of the moment and see one of our fellows and one of our friends who has gone to his reward, our heart cries out within us, praise the King. Praise the King. We invite you to be a Christian. Come while we stand and sing.